Today, we are ending, we're finishing our series, Jesus Equals Change. And this series was designed, we could have done this much longer than we did. But this series is designed, or was designed, to show us how powerful encounters with Jesus can be. The first thing that we looked at was a lady in the Bible who the Bible only describes her as immoral. Commentaries and everybody pretty much make her out to be a harlot, a prostitute. The Bible just says that she was immoral. But in her story, she had a powerful encounter with Jesus through an act of worship, and she experienced the power of forgiveness. So that's what we looked at for that one there. And then last week, Kim talked about a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Many of us are familiar with Zacchaeus in the Bible. There's children's songs about him. He's kind of a famous guy, but Zacchaeus was a Jewish man who became a tax collector for the Romans. So he was collecting taxes from the Jewish people for the Romans. Zacchaeus was a very despised man. People did not like this man. And one day Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, I'm having dinner at your house today." Oh man, everybody was so upset. The whole town talked about how unfair that was. Why Zacchaeus? Why did he pick Zacchaeus? Well, what we found out in that story is how much we matter to God. Zacchaeus experienced the unconditional love of Jesus. Because no matter what we've done, no matter how we define ourselves, no matter what's going on in our lives, Jesus sees beyond what everybody else sees on the outside, and he wants to have a relationship with us. Jesus isn't really concerned about what's going on in your life. He wants to have a relationship with you first. Now, all that other stuff, you'll get it figured out with him as you move along in life with him. The relationship is what he's more important, what he's more driven to get into with us. So those are a couple powerful encounters that we looked at. And so today we are going to talk about how to experience true freedom. True freedom. Everybody wants to be free, right? Everybody wants to do their own thing. Everybody wants to live their own life. Everybody wants to be left alone. I got it. But eventually, no matter who we are, we find out that we are bound to something. Apart from Jesus, we will always find ourselves bound to something. And there's only one way to experience true freedom. And that's what we're going to look at today. So we're going to start by looking at a passage in the Bible. Now, I got several passages we're going to read. We're going to do Colossians, Ephesians, Ephesians, Colossians, and we'll jump into Philippians. But we're going to go back and forth. They're all going to be up on the screen, so hang with me. But we're going to be mostly in Colossians and Ephesians, if you want to get there. And we're going to start in Colossians chapter 1. God's Electric Popcorn Company, Colossians. Does anybody else do that? Am I the only one? God's Galatians, Electric Ephesians, Popcorn Philippians, and Company. No, Popcorn is Power Philippians, and Company is Colossians. Good. See? There's another one with popcorn in there, too. I was getting a mix. But anyways, that's how I find the books in the Bible, okay? I'm spiritually deep, just in case you know. Like, I'm up here going, God's electric. All right, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, and it's up on the screen. We're going deep today. Where are we at? "For he," God, "has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." You know, that is extremely powerful. Just those two verses right there. Because God the Father is the one who chases us down and rescues us from the darkness that we are bound to. And he brings us into his kingdom. It is God's Holy Spirit that comes after us. You see, Jesus said, you are either for me or you're against me. And on this earth, there are two kingdoms spiritually that are vying, that are competing for our attention. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And you either know or you don't know if you belong to the kingdom of heaven. Because if you've invited Jesus into your life, if you put your trust in Jesus, you know you're over here. A lot of people don't really know if they're bound to the kingdom of darkness. Because they might think that they're a good person, they do good deeds, they do a lot of good stuff in life, but if they don't have Jesus in their life, they are over here. It's a sad truth. And then some people, they do know they're over here and they just don't care. But here's the deal. God continues to chase after us no matter what, so that he can get us into the kingdom of his dear son. Because it was his son, Jesus, who purchased our freedom when he died for our sins on the cross and rose from the dead. This is why it says he rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us, brought us over to the kingdom of his dear son. When Jesus walked the earth, that's all he did was present the kingdom of God to everybody. You see, Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And once we begin a life with him, it is Jesus who is said to be our go-between, between us and God. He's our lawyer. He's our advocate. He's the one that is up there rooting for us, cheering us on in life, trying to get us to steer us into the direction that he wants to lead us into, so that we can walk out the purpose of our life that he planned for us long ago. That's a little foreshadow of the end of the sermon. But you see, Jesus, this is the way I picture it in my head when I just let my imagination go a little bit. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He's got his hand on his dad's shoulder. I just picture God as just, I mean, he's God, right? He's just whoosh, and Jesus is like, he's like this. And then he's like this with us. And he's like, Dad, look at these guys. Look what's going on, Dad. Look what's going on in Rowena Siglos' life, Dad. I'm rooting for her. I'm cheering her. She can do this. I know she can do this. Look what's going on in Larry Tolliver's life. I'm rooting for him. He says this. I know he does. Look what's going on in Craig Shaw's life. I got this for him, Dad. He can do this. We're rooting for him. And that's what Jesus does. And when we mess up, you know what Jesus says? It's all right. Lean into me and we'll get through this. That's how it works. So what exactly does the phrase mean, he purchased our freedom? He purchased our freedom. Jesus allowed his innocent blood to be shed on the cross for all of mankind, for every single one of us, no matter how rotten we are. Think of the person that just gets under your skin the most. Jesus loves them more than you'll ever know because he died for them too. And this means that he alone has the authority and the power to free us from everything. What do you mean, free us from everything? Well, do you ever worry? He'll free you from that. Do you ever walk around feeling guilty? He'll free you from that. Do you ever deal with anxiety or depression? He'll free you from that. Do you ever deal with addictions? He'll free you from that. Do you ever feel like you're just kind of wandering through life with no real purpose? He'll free you from that. He'll free you from everything that you are bound to on this earth. Yeah. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at a few things that keep us from moving in the direction that God wants to see us move into. Because sometimes I feel like Jesus is like just, if we could hear him audibly, we would hear him going, turn around. Look at where I want you to go. And we would know that we're heading towards destruction by decisions we're making. But we have to reach out to him in order to understand he's calling us in this direction. Does that make sense? So here's one that I think maybe we can all kind of relate to. Guilt. Many people deal with guilt. Some people deal with guilt with big things, like, oh, I really messed that up. And some people, this is where I'm at. It's the small things, the tiny little things. I really wish I should have responded in that way. Why did I let myself get caught up into that kind of an argument? Why didn't I say this? Why did I say that? Ugh. And then you go to bed at night, you're just like, oh, why am I so stupid sometimes? Right? I mean, am I the only one that does that? Okay. I'll give you a little secret, though. I have learned, and we're gonna touch this. I have learned not to allow that stuff to drive me bananas. Because when you lean into God's word, you get the understanding that God's word can free you from that. Also, if you live a productive life, man, I don't have time for this. Because at the end of the day, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. You know, that the guilt wants to hit me, man. Wake me up in the morning when I'm feeling good, because I don't have time for it then either. So that's right. But listen, what happens with guilt? Guilt causes stress, right? You get stressed out. What does stress cause? Anxiety? Or maybe the opposite, depression? What does anxiety and depression cause? Physical, sometimes, illness. Mental, you're drained mentally. And then all of that ties into our spiritual life. Guilt can keep us from moving where God wants to see us move. It keeps us bound down here when God wants to break us free of that. And when it comes to regrets in life and guilt that comes from all of that, Jesus is the one who can free us from that. We always think that, well, you know, I'll figure this out, I'll fix it. And Jesus is going, just look at me, get into my word. Maybe you're here today thinking, you're like, I know that Jesus is the one that can free me from this, but oh, at the end of the day, it just won't stop, it won't turn off. That robs us. That is what robs us from the freedom that Jesus has to offer for us. And getting into God's word is the starting point for that. I wholeheartedly believe that prayer can change everything, and God moves mightily through prayer. But here's often how our prayers work, and correct me if I'm wrong. Please, God, please stop this from happening to me. Please, 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 God, just fix it for me. And then we wonder, why, God, where are you? Because here's my analogy for that. Ready? It's like getting your car stuck in the mud or stuck in the snow and sitting there by yourself and nailing the gas. You're not going to go anywhere. When you've got a phone right here, you can text some friends, hey, I need you to help pull me out of here. And what do? They come and get you. You can sit here all day long and cry to God about your problems, but if you don't get into the Word, if you don't get into the Word, that's what gets you out of that rut, God's Word. And that is also, here's another thing is, if you don't take a step forward, God can't carry you the rest of the way. You've got to move. Even if it's in the wrong direction, you're doing something, and I believe that gives God something to work with. All right? So now I'm going to read a couple more passages. And I'm going to hit one in Ephesians really quick, and then we're going to dial in on one in Colossians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Oh, this stuff is so good. I hope you grab a hold of this. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. Doesn't that sound familiar? He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. You need some wisdom, you need some understanding, you're going to find it in God's word. That's where you'll find it at. Now, just in case you're not convinced by that passage alone, I want to go over to Colossians because I want to prove to you that the Bible backs itself up It never contradicts itself. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Let's look at that for a second. Do you understand how powerful these passages are that we just read? We just glossed over the one in Ephesians, so meditate on that one later in the week. But look at this. Every spiritual ruler and authority that is not of God's kingdom was disarmed and publicly shamed when Jesus rose from the dead. That is so, so powerful. Can you imagine what it looked like in the spirit realm? Jesus is on that cross. He's dying. He's suffering. He's crying out to his Father. The demons are rejoicing. Ah, we got him now. The angels are like, I don't know what's going on yet here. And then he dies, and maybe there's a party in hell. We got him. And then when Jesus' body was in that tomb, he went to, it says this in one of the Peters, he went and preached a sermon in hell. Can you imagine what that sermon sounded like? I don't think it was like, well, I did it, guys. I don't even think we can comprehend the power of the words that came out of his mouth and the trembling that took place in hell. Because then he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He went to earth first. And he walked around and he was witnessed and seen by many, many people. He disarmed and shamed the spiritual rulers and authorities of darkness on that day. So here's what happens. When you call out on Jesus, every spiritual ruler and authority of the darkness that has a hold on you, guilt, depression, addiction, whatever it is, was disarmed and publicly shamed the moment you said, Jesus, I need you. That's what happens. And then, here's the deal. He canceled the record of charges against us. You see, we don't often understand this, but before we live a life with Jesus, we have charges against us because we're a sinful people. So when it's all said and done with, we're all going to stand in front of our Creator. We're all going to stand in front of Him. Those of us who believe in Jesus, put our trust in Jesus, are following Jesus, no matter how much we mess up, if your trust is in Jesus, your trust is in Jesus. The charges against you have been canceled. When you stand before your Creator, He says, come on in. But if you don't live a life for Jesus, the charges against you are red in front of you. See? All that weight of that sin and everything that you carry around that you don't even realize you're carrying around with you are charges of sinful things held against you. The only way to get those canceled is to put your faith in Jesus. That's it. So everything is canceled. So think of it like this. All right? Here's the analogy. See if I get this right. You rule in the darkness, okay? Not anybody in particular, but you rule in the darkness, all right? And I've got tickets to the biggest concert ever. Your favorite band, your all-time favorite band. And 2 days before that, the concert gets canceled. How do you feel? What are we going to do now? They're not rescheduling it. Okay? Maybe you're a non-music person. Maybe you're a sports person. Super Bowl. World Series. NBA Finals. You got tickets, man. They were free, given to you. The week of the big event, it gets canceled. How do you feel? Like, oh, what are we going to do? Or here's one for you. You're a family of four, and you go to Disney World every 2 years, and you got a vacation ready to go, and then COVID hits, and you're sitting at home looking at each other now. How do you feel? We were bummed. We got a whole vacation ready to be spent. But do you understand what I'm saying? That feeling of, oh, what are we going to do now? They're not rescheduling it. I don't know. What do we do? That's how the spirits of darkness feel when you put your faith in Jesus. What are we going to do now? He switched camps. She's no longer feeling guilty. I tried everything. She's reading God's word. What do? You better get on. I can't. She's reading God's word. You see what I'm saying? Everything against you has been canceled, and the enemy has no more power over you. That's how you find true freedom. Romans 8, verse 1, chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There is no condemnation. There is no guilt. There is none of that when you put your faith in Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus, there is no condemnation. There is only freedom. This is God's way of giving us do-overs. Who loves a do-over? I learned that from Pastor Dave. He's always talking about do-overs, right? Playing kickball, baseball, whatever. Hey, it's a do-over. You get a do-over. Who doesn't want a do-over? To me, do-overs equal freedom. And I will never take that for granted. God gives us do-overs. He will never, ever, ever give up on us. He is the God of second chances. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh, no matter how many times it takes. And we can be people who heap all kinds of guilt upon ourselves, even as believers. But God wants us to be free from that so that we can be the people that He created us to be. So how about this one? Maybe guilt isn't your thing. Maybe you worry. Does anybody, don't raise your hand. Anybody in here worry? Does anybody in here worry a lot? We are a people that worry. I mean, we worry about everything, right? We worry about our family. We worry about our kids. We worry about our parents. We worry about our siblings. We worry about our finances. We worry about the mortgage payment, the rent payment, the bills, the car. We worry about, what else do we, our health, our career, our relationships, the future, the past, COVID, a mask, the vaccine, racial problems, police brutality. We worry. There's a lot to worry about. Here's part of a definition of worry. Worry is a state of anxiety and uncertainty over actual or potential problems. If you're worrying about an actual problem, that's legitimate. I mean, I like to call it a concern. I'm just concerned. Stop worrying. I'm not. I'm concerned. I just can't. It's concerning. But a potential problem. Wow. That sounds like, oh, finally, I'm going to get a good night's sleep tonight. And you lay your head down, and then you go, beep. Yep. And all of a sudden, something that you think has the potential to go sideways rules your thoughts and keep you up all night. Who enjoys that? And how about this? Do you have those conversations in your head about stuff, and then you make up all these scenarios, and the next thing you know, the hour goes by, and then another hour goes by, and you toss and you turn, and you get up and you walk around, and you go back to bed, and you're like, yeah, but what if? Whew. Well, let's see what God's Word has to say about that. Philippians chapter 4. One of the best chapters in the Bible. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Hey, good. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. If it's worth worrying about, the Bible tells us it's worth praying about. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And you know what? When you start thanking God, finding things to thank God about, that worry will just, it'll leave your mind because you will become thankful. The moment we shift our attention from the worry to Jesus, we begin to experience that peace and understanding that will guard our hearts and minds. Just start thanking God for things. You know, because how many of you have ever worried yourself into a solution? I mean, right? Worrying's never solved a problem. It cannot change the past, and it cannot help you in the future. Worrying is useless. When we get this figured out, we realize that this passage right here equals freedom. You know, Jesus himself did a teaching about worrying in Matthew chapter 6, and he asked the question to his audience, which of you can add an inch to your height by worrying? And then he basically went on to do this great teaching about just focusing on today. When our minds begin to go down a path, that path of worry, give it to Jesus. Just give it to him. Talk to him about it and allow his presence to surround you with the peace and understanding that only he can give you. And listen, unless you're not like me and you start worrying late at night and you don't pick up your phone to distract yourself, pick up your phone and plug in Philippians chapter 4 and just read it. Somebody needs to hear this because I guarantee you the worry will leave your mind and peace will flood your spirit because that's what God's word does. And then the last one here we'll look at, I think one of the biggest things that steals our freedom is regret. I mean, you hear it all the time. People are coming towards the end of their life, and what is the biggest thing they talk about? Regret. I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. Regret will kill you. And this is why we sometimes find ourselves on this endless journey of, what am I here for? What is my purpose in life? And then you go find yourself. You're going to go find yourself. What are you going to find out there? More of you. But we do this. I'm convinced that God is the one that puts that desire to know in our hearts, in our spirits. But instead of just telling us, he wants us to search it out. Because he gave us free will. We get to choose. You want to go through life on your own, or you want to go through life with Jesus? You want to go through life in the kingdom of God? You want to go through life in the kingdom of darkness? You choose. True meaning in life, true purpose in life will only come from our Creator. And until we get that figured out, we will constantly be searching. I knew this person once years ago. They never got this figured out. But they were constantly going on these journeys and traveling and everything. And it was like, man, how many vacation days do you have? I need your job because I know that can't be cheap. But constantly traveling. And on the outside looking in, it was like, man, they're living the dream. I wish I could go to all these places around the world. But I knew this person, and they weren't living the dream. They were actually struggling inside. They were hurting. And they were trying to fill it with adventure. Oftentimes, we try to fill it with all kinds of things. Maybe relationships. You've got a string of broken relationships behind you. It might be that you haven't really found your true purpose in life, and you're trying to fill it with things. Oftentimes, we try to fill it with possessions and money and things because we can see it. It's evident. My life is good. Everybody says, your life is good, but on the inside, you're hurting. There's an old school phrase, because I tried this on my kids last week. They'd never heard it before. The person who dies with the most toys wins. Anybody hear that? Right? Well, guess what? Without Jesus, the person who dies with the most toys still dies. The person who dies with Jesus in their life wins. See what I'm saying? You can't take any of this stuff with you. When we go through life not knowing what our purpose is, we often end up frustrated and unhappy. Like we've hit a bunch of dead ends and we keep going through this cycle. And we're fed up. We often wonder, what is the point? Why am I even trying? Why am I even here? This is dumb. I hate my life. I can't get this figured out. And this often leads to regret. Because that didn't work. That's not working. I can't get this to work. Nothing's working. I regret doing all of this. And the good news is, we were all born with a God-given identity and purpose in life. And it is when we invite Jesus into our lives that we realize our identity is to be found in Him and our purpose can be found with Him. Last passage here, Ephesians chapter 2. Kim touched on this last week. This is a great. If you struggle with things, this passage is for you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. You know, it doesn't really matter how many good things you do because Jesus loves you regardless. Ready for this one? For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. There's other passages in the Bible that speak about the plans God has for us. And this just backs that up. You know, no matter what we've done in life, no matter what's happened to us, no matter how we define ourselves, God's Word tells us that each one of us are a masterpiece, perfectly made, unique in its own way. He made each one of us specifically unique with the idea in mind that He has a purpose for each one of us in life. He had planned for us to walk this purpose out the day He created us. That's why it says, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. When you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew the plans He had for you. And the moment we say, Jesus, I want you into my life, God says, I already know what I have planned for this person. This is going to be great. And Jesus is like, look, Dad, they're starting to figure it out. And He's like, yeah, let's help them out, son. There is nothing on this planet that is an insignificant purpose when we find our identity in Jesus and realize that, yes, I am perfectly created, and the experiences that I've gone through in life, whether good or bad, will help those around me when I am listening to the leading of God's Holy Spirit. See what I'm saying? God will heal all of those hurts and pasts and things that have been done to you. He'll heal all of that in this journey that you have with Him. But He will also use those experiences, good or bad, for you to help others as you walk your life out with Him. That's a part of your purpose. Amen? And this, when we do the good things that God planned for us long ago, when we figure that out and we're walking that out and we find our identity in Jesus and our purpose in Him, that is what true freedom is all about. Amen? So, I usually have like a little closer, the kind of summary for the sermon, but what I want to do today is, as I got to this part earlier in the week, I felt like God's Holy Spirit gave me a message for you, each single one of you. Some of you, this is going to hit hard, and you're going to feel just this wave and this flood of love. And some of you are going to be like, I really needed to hear that. And some of you are going to be like, ah, I love Jesus. I'm just a vessel right now. God's Holy Spirit has basically a letter. It's a text. He sent me a text to send out to you guys. All right? I believe if Jesus were here today, this is what he would say to each one of us. So get this in. Ready? You matter to me. I don't want you to just exist in life. From this day forward, I want you to make the rest of your life the best of your life. I know every single detail about you, and I know everything you've been through. If you lean into me, follow me, trust me, I can help you live a guilt-free, worry-free, full of forgiveness, grace, and mercy life with true purpose and meaning. Nobody can offer what I can offer on this earth and in eternity. Do you trust me? Signed, Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you so much. I thank you for your word. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the love that you have for us, God, that there isn't a thing that any of us can do, have ever done, or even will do that will keep you from loving us any less. And I thank you for that, Jesus. As we head into a time of worship, God, I pray that if we got people dealing with guilt, worry, stress, anxiety, depression, regrets, wandering through life, God, that you would give them the answer that they have been searching for today, God, that today would be a mile marker in their spiritual walk with you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.